Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel. On the docket today, first, Lori Vallow case. That's right, confirmation of the bizarre beliefs. Second, 21 guys in California who are probably going to be on a list. Third, a prison guard needs a little better baking skills. And then finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk. My name is Scott Reich. Thanks for watching. If you haven't done so already, please hit that subscribe button as well as hit that bell so that you receive notifications of when we put up a new video or we go live. Now, we are heading into the 4th of July weekend. Have a wonderful weekend. I wish you that in advance. Enjoy the weekend with your family, your friends, and remember, yes, this is still one of the greatest countries in the world, and in my humble opinion, still the best. All right, first on the docket, Lori Vallow. What other country in the world could you be this bizarre and not be apprehended a heck of a lot sooner? Well, only here in America, ladies and gentlemen, only here in America. All right, the affidavit for the arrest warrant for Lori Vallow in regards to her case in Maricopa County, Arizona, for the conspiracy to commit the death of her husband number four, Charles Vallow, with the aid of her brother, Alex Cox, has been released. And boy, we all knew it was bizarre, just further confirmation that Lori Vallow has some real issues. I guess my question is that Charles Vallow petitioned to have Lori Vallow comped and really never went anyway. She was released rather quickly. But Charles Vallow said, she thinks that I am possessed and I go by this name of Ned and a dark person. And then we have text messages back and forth between Alex and Lori Vallow, basically stating that, well, for lack of a better term, he has dark energy and he needs to go. Well, when Alex Cox was at the Charles Vallow residence on June 11th of 2019, the call to 911 dispatchers told authority that he had just killed his brother-in-law in self-defense. Now, the police were a little skeptical at first because of issues, but, you know, basically there was no rush in the investigation, apparently. The police also felt that they didn't have probable cause at the time to arrest Alex Cox and certainly not Lori Vallow at that time. But as things progressed, the investigation continued. And it was discovered that Charles Vallow had this concern because Lori Vallow kept stating that she was selected to prepare 144,000 people for the end of the world. Now, like I said, he petitioned to ask for a mental health evaluation. And in that petition, Charles Vallow says that Lori thinks that he's possessed by a dark spirit by the name of Ned Schneider. Lori would even refer to Charles Vallow in conversations and documents by the name of Ned. Now, during the time of the investigation, obviously we all know that the kids, Tylee and JJ, disappeared. Charles Vallow's deceased. And during this time, investigators learned that Lori Vallow had married Chad DeBell. Oh, and by the way, his wife had just mysteriously died as well in her sleep. And then the two of them got married rather quickly. Now, Charles Vallow obviously was aware of Chad DeBell and was going to actually go to Tammy DeBell and let them know of this extramarital affair between Chad DeBell and Lori Vallow. And to make a very long story short, as adult of data recovered from cell phones as well as from the iCloud storage system, it was believed that none of the mentioned crimes were simply coincidence or justifiable. Specifically, the police alleged that the evidence shows that Charles Vallow's death was planned and necessary somehow in the eyes of Lori Vallow to prevent Charles and others from confronting Lori about her extreme religious beliefs, when he came back into town, into Arizona, on July 11th of 2019. The police also state that the death of Charles Vallow was also necessary in order for Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow to marry and fulfill their religious prophecy. We've heard this before, but the police put it in their affidavit that Lori believed that she was an exalted goddess and that she and Chad, like I said, were going to lead these 144,000 people into preparing for the end of the world. A lot of people came forward to talk about this cult's belief system and provided insights as it relates to Chad and Lori's beliefs. It also apparently became quite clear to people that had talked to the police that Lori and Chad believed that they had these extraordinary abilities, which included the power to teleport and cause harm to others. They also had the ability to call upon natural disasters, the ability to pray away demonic spirits attached to others, and also visionary capabilities. And because they had these extraordinary abilities, they were able to tell whether somebody was light or dark, basically good or bad, and whether they should die and were going to interfere with their religious plans. Now, a couple things come to mind when I read this affidavit. First, clearly bizarre stuff. However, here in America, just because you believe in bizarre stuff doesn't mean that it's a crime. But obviously, if you harm people, it is then a crime. But just to believe what most people would be considered crazy doesn't necessarily make you a criminal, doesn't necessarily make you insane. For example, we have lots of people that believe in the world that the world is flat. Now, maybe that's what they truly believe. Maybe they're crazy. Maybe they're just very gullible to believe such a thing when you could probably prove it rather easily that most of the people in the world and evidence would show that the world is in fact round. So the fact that Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell had these beliefs in and of themselves, like I said, isn't a crime. But clearly if you go around killing people, it becomes a crime. And having done cases that involved where people refer to it as a cult, you usually find that there was a couple of people that had some very devout beliefs and they followed those, but they weren't going to harm anybody. And then these people all get together and they just feed upon each other. And then they start thinking that they have visions and they are the prophets and they can see when the end of the world is coming. And they just feed on themselves. It's one of the more bizarre situations I've ever had to come in contact with. But there's usually someone that just takes it a little too far because they start believing truly that this is taking place, that the end of the world is coming, or that they in fact do have powers that clearly they don't have. I would be curious as to why neither Chad nor Lori have created some sort of natural disaster so that they could break free from custody or use their teleports to escape as well. Their deadline for the end of the earth has come and gone. So clearly, one would maybe think that their beliefs are wrong, but they will always find a way to rationalize it, which basically means it's delusional. So what happens when you have a bunch of delusional people get together talking about crazy beliefs? Well, you get a lot of crazy people starting to do a lot of crazy things. The next thing that is concerning to me is that a lot of people were aware of this belief system, and I'm curious as to why it took a year for Mark Means not to have an evaluation done almost immediately. I would also want to know if whether Mr. John Pryor has comped Chad Daybell as it relates to his beliefs. If he truly believes that he has some powers, then he really may not be competent. He may be able to hold a conversation, but if you are having delusional ideations and believe that you have these powers, you may have mental health issues for sure. All I can say is this thing is getting more bizarre as things go along. It's a little sad that the police authorities had to take so long to get to where they are. And it looks like the real perpetrator, the one who actually probably did the harm to everybody, Alex Cox, is now deceased. Of course, the next question that begs to be answered is, could it have been Lori and Chad? The coroner says no, but so did the police originally determined that Alex Cox was justifiable in killing Charles Vallow. So things are not always as they seem. And what happens when the truth turns out to be a big lie? Let me know what you think about the Vallows. I think it will be years until Lori Vallow is restored to competency, if ever. It's certainly not going to be within the 90 days. Or do you think she's just making this whole stuff up and she was just playing on this whole goddess thing so that she could get people to do what she wanted? Let me know. Next on the docket, 21 guys in California that may soon find themselves on a list. Take a look at a couple of these guys, right? I don't know. What does somebody look like that wants to meet young girls? Well, here's a couple of them. There was a four-day sting operation and netted 21 arrests last week. 10 are charged with felonies relating to contacting minors to engage in. That's right. That is illegal, gentlemen. That is illegal. That's wrong. And the fact that you even responded to some inquiries just makes it bad all around. Fresno police said that they rescued 10 women or girls who were being trafficked, and now they're going to assist these people with addiction treatment, counseling, job training, and obviously reunification with their family. Which goes to what I have said many times before. If people knew how much crime took place in the world, they would probably never come outside and they would arm themselves heavily. Take a look at these guys. Obviously, they're given the presumption of innocence, but what does a sex offender look like walking down the street? Well, I don't know. But what I would recommend is take a look at crimetalksearch.com. At least you can have a fighting chance to see if somebody is not someone you want to be with. Take a look. Please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about what was in their background, now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever. But if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship. You're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did. Next on the docket, a South Carolina correctional officer needs some better baking skills. Marcy Schaefer has been arrested and charged with official misconduct in office, possession of narcotics with intent to distribute, and furnishing prisoners with contraband. That's right. That's one of the things that correctional officers are not supposed to do, provide contraband to prisoners. Apparently, Ms. Schaefer had watched a little too much of Orange is the New Black and thought that it was going to be profitable and easy. Well, maybe it would have been if she was a better baker. The charges allege that Ms. Schaefer smuggled the pills into the institution in a Rice Krispies treat. As you can see, the pills are protruding from the Rice Krispie treats and obviously can be discerned that they may not be something that should be in that Rice Krispie treat. Apparently, the people scanning the correctional officer's gear going in and out spotted it rather quickly. Now, Ms. Schaefer is facing up to 16 years behind bars. And guess what? She'll probably be in there trying to tell people, hey, can you get me some contraband in the jail? It's not that big a deal. I only got a, you know, lengthy 16-year prison sentence. And those type of cases usually do get a large prison sentence because guess what? They're prosecuted in the same jurisdiction where the prison is located. Usually prisons are located in smaller communities out in the countryside. And guess what? They are going to deter others from doing that. And what's the best way of doing that? Letting all of the other correctional officers know what lengthy prison sentence the guilty party receives. Ms. Schaefer gets that presumption of innocence, but it's not looking good so far. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. But before we get there, let's give you a quick recap of our contestants who've won that prize throughout the week, vying for the ultimate trophy, Dumb Criminal Contestant of the Week. Monday, Latrell Trisalis was arrested for felony battery after throwing a glass jar of Tostitos salsa at someone inside a convenience store. The customer was injured when the glass jar broke on their back. Trisalis has a hefty record of theft and allegedly stole a Choco Taco from the 7-Eleven as well. Tuesday, Robert Goldwitzer realized he was not giving the appropriate dipping sauce with his McNuggets. That's right. What's the logical thing to do? That's right. Called McDonald's and threatened to blow the place up. Wednesday, a Tennessee couple, Tavares McKinney and Kiana Halliburton, got into an argument with a coworker at Burger King, fired multiple shots from their Ford Escape from the road into the parking lot, hitting two females. The fight all started over, that's right, complaining about their chicken sandwich. The spicy chicken sandwich was too spicy. Thursday, 18-year-old Raphael Woloski was arrested for trying to burglarize homes in Vero Beach. He told the police that he was burglarizing the home to get money to pay for college and, oh, that's right, the devil kept tempting him to do that. So, quick recap. Monday, the Tostitos salsa throwing individual. Tuesday, I'm going to blow up the restaurant because my sauce wasn't included. Wednesday, my spicy chicken sandwich was too spicy. And then I just needed money for college. Those are our contestants for this week thus far. But who do we have for today? It's another duo. Please meet Daniel McCleary, 60, and Donald Enstrom, 59. Now, what do these two individuals at first blush could you possibly think they could be arrested for? Maybe public intoxication? Maybe panhandling? I don't know. They look like they've had a tough life indeed. But what they're truly charged with was, that's right, engaging in sexual acts while completely naked and in public view. After the pair was arrested, Mr. Enstrom reportedly admitted that they were in fact having sex. Now, McCleary and Enstrom were arrested for indecent exposure and booked into the county jail on misdemeanor charges. And yes, that's right, once again, both had indicia of alcohol influence. Sometimes it makes people do crazy things. You can do whatever you want, you just can't do it in public. Let us know which Dumb Criminal Contestant of the Day will win the fine honor of Dumb Criminal Contestant of the Week, whereby the winner will receive Crime Talk swag. If you want to get Crime Talk swag without having to have sex in public and getting arrested, that's right. All you have to do is hit the link below and you can get whatever you want. It'll be with you in no time. And everyone who has said that they have bought swag has been happy. Haven't received any negative complaints. So we appreciate that as well. Have a wonderful 4th of July weekend. Remember, those founding fathers, the Revolutionary War, they were true patriots. They were rebels fighting over a 2% tax. That's right, 2%. Go enjoy a little freedom this weekend and put that flag out. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.